This is the Truth Hurts program with Steve Z.
Copyright 2023, the Truth Hurts Program Network, all rights reserved. This program is pre-recorded.
Well, hello and welcome to another edition of the Truth Hurts Program with Steve Z. It is Tuesday, the 16th day of April, 2024. We've got a whole lot to talk about, so I want to get right to the headlines here. The first one reads, Karine Jean-Pierre says the economy is going in the right direction, but why don't Americans feel it in their wallets? I'm not even going to bother going into the actual article. The answer is quite simple. The economy is not going in the right direction, Karine Jean-Pierre. You are reading what you are told to read like a good little homegirl, but that doesn't make it true. Inflation is continuing to rise thanks to Bidenomics. The interest rates have not come down at all thanks to Bidenomics. The supply chain has been now for 2 years supposedly on the mend, and yet it hasn't gotten much better thanks to Bidenomics. Our southern border is still wide open, which is putting a strain on the economy, especially in those liberal, democratic, woke, progressive sanctuary cities who are begging for more and more of your illegally printed dollar bills to fund the illegal activities of housing unlawful, criminal, law-breaking, invading migrant terrorists who are unchecked, unvetted, and simply allowed to wander free until whatever time happens that they decide to revolt and take over. You think there are only 11 million illegal immigrants in the country? You are wrong. Dead wrong. Barack Hussein Obama, on his first week in office, acknowledged in his opinion, and based on the information he was given, there were 11 million. And those were only the 11 million they admitted to. And that number did not include all of those who get away without being caught. Those are just the 11 million that were apprehended prior to Barack Hussein Obama's inauguration. He allowed 2 million a year that were simply caught and released. So he was in office for 8 years. 8 times 2 is 16 million, plus the 11 million he had already admitted to. So that's 27 million by the end of Barack Hussein Obama's first term in office. And that did not count the 5 to 15 to 1 gotaway ratio. Let's not even talk about the gotaways. When Barack Hussein Obama left office, we knew of 27 million illegal, criminal, law-breaking, trespassing, invading migrants. Under the 4 years of Donald Trump, we apprehended about 2 more million. So that puts the number at 29 million that we know of. Joe Biden, in 3 years in office, has let in over 2 million per year that we know of. Do the math, people. 29 million plus 6 million is 35 million that we know of. Let's use the conservative figure of 5 illegals get away for every one we catch and simply release into the United States. 5 million times 35 million is 175 million illegals, plus the 35 million we knew of, makes a grand total of potentially 210 million illegal immigrants in our country right now. Not counting those illegals, the country was only supposedly sitting at a population of 330 million. So you're telling me that we have immigration under control? Let me give you a rude awakening piece of Truth Hurts program math. Using the much more likely 15 illegals get away for every one that is simply caught and released into our country, and add to that the original 35 million that we know of since Barack Hussein Obama took office through the Trump years and through the first 3 years of Joe Biden. If 15 times the 35 million simply got away, plus the 35, that means there are 500 million illegal, criminal, law-breaking, invading, trespassing migrants in the United States. The total number of illegals as high as 560 million.
well overpowering the population of legal citizens in our country. Imagine if 500 million communist Chinese simply overran our border on the West Coast, or the East Coast, or through Canada, or heaven forbid, through the wide open porous border in Mexico. That would be a war. That would be World War III.
If 560 million unlawful criminal invaders came across our borders. But Joe Biden has no problem whatsoever in seeing as many as 560 million illegals in our country. That is a possibility. I'm not saying that is the true actual number. But let's use the Biden administration's own figure. They claim that only two get away for every one that is caught. So let's do some more Truth Hurts program math, shall we? We'll take our 35 million that we know of, that Barack Hussein Obama and Donald Trump and Joe Biden admitted to. We're not even going to count all of those who came across illegally during the Clinton years, or the Baby Bush years, or any of the preceding presidents. Let's just pretend. Let's make believe that illegal immigration started on the day Barack Hussein Obama took office. We know that's not the case, but let's just pretend, okay? 35 million that we know of that have simply been released into the population, unchecked, untraceable, untrackable, unvetted, unfettered. 35 million. And let's say that two get away for every one that gets caught. Well, two times 35 million is 70 million, plus the 35 million we already know are here. That means from the time Barack Hussein Obama took office through today with Joe Biden as your president, 105 million illegals currently reside in the United States. But don't worry. They're producing children at a rate even faster than the African-American 13% hyphenated minority. And those bambinos and chicas are automatically citizens because they happen to fall out of a vagina on this side of the border? Something is wrong, my friends. And let's just say that it's 105 million, that very low, low estimated figure that the Biden administration would have no choice but to admit to being a fact. 105 million illegals is like one-fourth, actually, one-third of the existing U.S. population of 330 million. So now we have 435 million Americans? They are not Americans. They're illegal, criminal, lawbreaking, trespassing, invading migrants who do not belong here. Biden's inflation has already negated the argument that
if the illegals weren't here and Americans had to pick those tomatoes, your salad would cost you 25% more.
Joe Biden's Bidenomics inflation alone, since he took office, has caused prices, average prices of everything in America, to rise more than 20%. That means every item you could have purchased while Donald Trump was president for $100, now costs you $120. Plus, of course, the increased sales tax on that additional $20 purchase. Everything is more expensive since Joe Biden took office. And it didn't happen gradually. It began the very day that Joe Biden took office. The day he put his feeble fingers on the Holy Bible and made the stupid lie that he would defend and protect America. That he would defend and protect the United States Constitution from all invaders, from all enemies, public as well as private. You don't believe me? Just since Joe Biden took office, I'm going to read to you the percentage of inflation for common food items. And you've been to the grocery store, so you know. Butter, up 24%. Breakfast cereal, up 38%. Milk, up 40%. Eggs, up 41%. The cost of a loaf of white bread, 42% higher. Mayonnaise for your white bread, up 50%. Beef, you know, steaks, hamburgers, 51% higher. Applesauce, 51% higher.
Chocolate bars up 52% and rising. Cooking oil up 54%. Fruit snacks up 77%. You want to know why your neighbor's borrowing a cup of sugar that they'll never repay? Sugar is up 120% since Joe Biden took office. EVOO, you know, extra virgin olive oil, 219% increase since Joe Biden took office. Oranges, orange juice from California, Florida, other places that produce orange juice here in the States, up 260%. And the price of cocoa, used in chocolate and baking and other things, up 345%. And that's just food, my friends. But Biden says inflation's only 3.5. He is deluding himself and attempting to delude you. The price of gasoline, of diesel, of natural gas, of propane, all up significantly. Most of his entire administration, double what it was when Donald Trump was the president. And Joe Biden says, give me 4 more years to finish the job. What is the job, Joe Biden? To completely destroy the American economy? To completely ruin our ability to survive and to live in this nation? What is the job you want to finish? To allow potentially another 500 million illegal, criminal, law-breaking, trespassing migrants across our border? By the way, there used to be a shipyard in Avondale, Louisiana, just outside of New Orleans. It was called Avondale Shipyards. It has been closed now for about a decade. They used to produce Navy ships there. But the Navy said, nope, you do a lousy job. You're not building them to the quality standards, to the costs that you agreed to in the contract, or to the quality and on the timeline you promised. So Avondale Shipyards, which was purchased by Ingalls Shipbuilding, a Northrop Grumman company, decided to close their shipyard at Avondale, Louisiana, that had been around since Higgins was building boats for World War II. They shut it down, and it sits there on the Mississippi River, prime real estate, just going to waste. Ingalls Shipbuilding started building some Navy contracted ships at the port of Mississippi there, Baton Rouge or Gulfport, I believe, or Pascagoula, perhaps. Yeah, Pascagoula, thank you. And they're still not delivering the quality, the time frame, the cost, the product that we, the people, the taxpayers, demand. Meanwhile, our United States Navy doesn't give a damn. They don't care about the quality. They don't care about the long delays. They don't care that the costs double, triple, quadruple. As long as their buddies in the defense contracting industry continue to become gazillionaires, the U.S. Navy doesn't care. The U.S. Navy's more concerned with letting boy soldiers pee in girl soldiers' bathrooms, or paying for guys to have their tallies whacked off, or to have girls get thigh meat positioned between their legs in adidectomy operations, or have their breasts chopped off because today they feel like they're a little boy, or some guy decides that today he wants to be a female. Biology, science, be damned. The Navy is more concerned with the feelings of their widow Navy personnel than they are with defending our nation. Meanwhile, the Chinese government is building Navy warships at a record-breaking pace, on time, under budget, with much better quality than we are capable of producing here because of our union rules and our Navy's focus on transgender ideology instead of defending these United States of America. Think about that, my friends. Yesterday, I spent a little bit of time talking about the shitty by the bay, San Francisco. I told you they're trying to make it illegal to close a grocery store and how ridiculous that is. Meanwhile, California's gasoline prices continue to soar thanks to Bidenomics, thanks to liberal democratic woke party politics, and the lies of environmentally beneficial initiatives. California claims to be big on clean energy. They claim that they're committed to making residents use cleaner fuels or don't use fuels at all. The dedication is costing consumers a hell of a high price. Fueling up a gas tank in a gasoline-powered car is much more expensive than all the other states, including Hawaii, for God's sake.
The current national average gasoline price, thanks to Bidenomics, in the United States is around $3.54 per gallon. Under Donald Trump, this time during his presidency, it was around $1.68 per gallon, in case you're keeping track. The current average price for a gallon of unleaded fuel in California is $5.12 per gallon. Think about that. If you drive a Ford F-150 pickup truck with a 36-gallon tank in California, it will cost you $184.32 to fill up your tank from empty. $184 for a full tank of gas right now in Gavin Newsom's Democrat-run hellhole of California. $184.32 to fill up your F-150. The answer to Gavin Newsom, of course, is then don't buy an F-150 with a 36-gallon tank. Perhaps you can buy a smaller vehicle with a 20-gallon tank. If you do that, you only have to shell out $102.40 to fill up your smaller vehicle with a smaller gas tank. And the Democrat governor thinks you're stupid enough to feel like that's better. But you have to stop more often to fill up your tank. And it's going to cost you $102.40 more times per week, especially if you're commuting long distances. No, the game plan is to cause gasoline prices to go so high that somehow electric vehicles might look more attractive to you. Because, well, they think everyone in California is stupid. Not only do Californians pay a per gallon excise tax, they also pay sales taxes, where many other states don't have a sales tax on gas, let alone a dual tax. Based on data compiled by the U.S. Energy Information Administration, Californians pay an arm and a leg in those taxes. There's also the customer loyalty to brand names, right? Shell, Mobil, Exxon, Chevron, Texaco. The suggestion that loyalty to these brands affects gas prices comes from a wacky liberal faculty director of the Energy Institute at UCal Berkeley's Haas School of Business. Professor Severin Borenstein says, California has way fewer off-brand stations like the Costco's and the Safeways, but also the Rotten Robbies. He thinks Californians seem to rely on the same companies that can simply pick and choose their prices without consequences. He is wrong. Gas Buddies head of petrol analysis, Patrick Dehan, says California is segregated from the rest of the USA when it comes to gasoline prices, and this forces price hikes and supply shortages. Refineries must work harder to meet California's standards. In the last 10 years, there's been an 11% reduction of oil refining capacity thanks to those states' initiatives for biofuel conversion. It is ridiculous. But my friends, people continue to choose to live there, and they will have to still deal with all of the high prices. And for all of the lies that they spout to their people, California is still more polluted than most of the other U.S. states. To this day, California struggles with high pollution levels in their major cities. Metropolitan areas like Bakersfield and San Francisco are highly polluted. Stats from the American Lung Association's State of the Air report says 9 out of 10 Californians live in an area affected by harmful air pollutants such as carbon monoxide, sulfur oxides, and yes, even lead. So they're attempting to clear the air by banning gasoline vehicle sales by 2035. Only electric and now hybrid cars will be driving in California's streets in the future, which tells me that since I drive a big old honking diesel pickup truck, I'm not welcome in the Golden State. Not that I want to go there anyway. Why the hell would I want to pay $5.12 a gallon for a gallon of unleaded, which means diesel's probably $6 or $7 a gallon? And they're going to tax me to death on everything and ridicule me for driving a diesel. Meeting the state's zero emission standards will not be easy for most of the residents. Higher fuel prices will hit the economically disadvantaged communities much harder than they will the more affluent communities.
Why isn't the Blafrican-American 13% hyphenated minority group screaming racism and playing the race card because of these higher fuel prices, which disproportionately affect the black community more than it does the white community? The answer's quite simple. There's a D for Democrat, or is it for dumbass, behind the names of the California leadership and the vast majority of the 13% hyphenated American minority. Time will tell. There's an article here that says Mike Pence has landed a new gig after his failed 2024 bid. The former vice president of Donald Trump, who would never ever be chosen as Donald Trump's running mate this go round, will be teaching a course at Grove City College. Grove City College? What is that? One of those Saturday morning with all the ambulance chasing lawyer commercials kind of colleges? Grove City College is supposedly a conservative Christian school located in Grove City, Pennsylvania. Okay. Pence's title will be serving as the Distinguished Visiting Fellow for Faith and Public Life. Good luck to you, Mr. Pence. I hope they're paying you a hell of a lot of money because you are a sellout. There's a country that is announcing major plans to ban all gasoline-powered vehicles in a sweeping new law, claiming the evidence is clear. In order to supposedly curb global rising temperatures, you know, 0.00001 degrees Celsius over the next 1,000 years, Canada, our pesky neighbors to the north, has issued a new edict that all light-duty vehicles sold by 2035 cannot produce any tailpipe pollution. The ruling carries benchmarks of 20% of passenger cars, SUVs, crossovers, and light trucks sold by next year in 2026 must be zero-emission vehicles, and that number climbs to 60% by the end of this decade. Good luck with that, Canada. I don't think it's going to fly. On the last episode of the Truth Hurts program, we talked about Maryland and their new proposed law to require people to have insurance if they own a gun. That's just about as bad as a homeowners association committee member who sparks debate over a $1 million insurance requirement for anyone in the homeowners association that has an electric vehicle charger. Renters are usually more likely than homeowners to encounter obstacles when trying to make the choice to go electric vehicle. One Virginia townhome resident illustrated a potential pitfall taking the charging problem to the web. On a volunteer homeowners association board, he was told in order to have an electric vehicle charger at his privately owned home, he must purchase a $1 million insurance policy for liability in case the massive fire that his electric vehicle or its charger causes spreads to another home in the neighborhood. Give me a break. Moving on. According to an article in the Past Chronicle, Lauren Focus writes, "The Atlantic Ocean is on the brink of collapse, and our world can get much colder as a result." Really now. If the Atlantic Ocean is getting colder, doesn't this mean the temperatures will be getting colder just the same? Before exploring information, it's vital to understand how currents in our world's oceans function. This has absolutely nothing to do with the so-called lie of man-caused global warming. It's simply the fact that the oceans have been changing. Their currents and flows have been changing since Pangaea was the single continent on this Earth hundreds of millions of years ago. The Atlantic Meridional Overturning Circulation, known as AMOC, is half of a conveyor belt known as the Worldwide Ocean Current Flow. You see, planet Earth is spinning around, and it has mountains, and those mountains divert the air in our atmosphere into different directions. And the atmospheric air also, along with the moon's phases, cause waves to occur, and those waves become currents, and those currents change over time. This article was not only a waste of time, but a waste of ink. Meanwhile, the Biden administration has silently, quietly given California $45 million to help
recently arrived illegal criminal lawbreaking immigrants. This money is part of a $300 million giveaway announced past Friday by FEMA. Most of the California funding will be split between San Diego County and the Catholic Charities Diocese of San Diego. $6 million is going to Riverside County. An additional $341 million will be used to establish a grant program before the end of this fiscal year. This funding is to give illegals free stuff. Joe Biden has done everything possible to open the border and welcome in illegal immigrants. But Gavin Newsom issued a statement that says, quote, "Let's be clear. President Biden is doing all he can to fund border security and humanitarian efforts, while Republicans in Congress are choosing border chaos for political gain. Republicans in Congress want to shut the border completely, you moron. Why are you lying and trying to fool the stupider half of the population?" Migrant arrivals at the California-Mexico border has increased exponentially. Customs and Border Protection has turned to releasing people on the streets en masse. They've tried to hold migrants between border walls to reduce the number of people in short-term facilities, but the bottom line is this: your tax dollars are being given away to illegal criminal migrants, not only by free housing and free food and free clothing and free cell phones and free health care, but debit cards with money on them. It's just being handed to the illegals. And yet, nothing is being done to stop it. A couple of the other headlines. Remote workers are about to get a rude awakening. More and more companies requiring employees to come back to work at the office. Biden silent after being pressed about the Iranian strike against Israel. What now? Nothing. Biden supports Iran. That's why he and Obama put hundreds of millions of dollars of your money right out there on the tarmac for Iran, Iraq, and other terrorist countries to simply use against Israel and indeed against the United States. U.S. gross domestic product growth isn't cooling after all, this article says. Wells Fargo says expect more job cuts, more inflation, and fewer cuts in interest rates. More than $500 million of your taxpayer money has paid for other people's electric vehicles, this next article is entitled. And a couple of other headlines to talk about. Look who's calling math racist. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is underwriting efforts to, quote, dismantle white supremacy from mathematics instruction taught in K through 12 schools. Practically everything now is racist. Why not add math to the mix? Grumbles Capital Research Center's Kelly Fontanilla. A 2021 guide sent to California teachers identifies perfectionism, sense of urgency, defensiveness, quantity over quality, and individualism as characteristics of white supremacy. The Gates-funded manual emphasizes getting the right answer in math should never be the focus. It should simply be understanding the concepts and reasonings. It's ironic, since Bill Gates built his entire monumental wealth on computer science, a discipline entirely dependent on accurate mathematics. Meanwhile, a recent AP Center poll for public affairs research found that 48% of Americans oppose unilateral presidential rule and a whopping 21% favor it. This includes 17% of Democrats. Only a small minority of Americans actually favor turning the presidency into an elective monarchy, but they're getting it anyway, thanks to Joe Biden and executive orders. Finally, from the law desk, end the special counsels is what's being called for by a former justice official, James Burnham. He says, few innovations in American law enforcement have done more damage than independent prosecutors, and I couldn't agree more. All right, gang, it looks like we are out of time for this edition of the Truth Hurts program. We'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to the Truth Hurts program. Opinions expressed are protected free speech under the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. We apologize if you are offended, but we retract nothing. Background music by Jason Shaw and Audionautix. Copyright 2024, the Truth Hurts Program Network, all rights reserved.